Thank you. Felt like I was in heaven. Yeah. Hi, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Leah Chilengwe, and me, together with my handsome husband who's at the door, the most handsome husband in the building today, I can say that, he's mine, we look after life groups. We look after life groups. And if you loved what you've seen so far, then I just encourage you, if you're not in a life group, why not? Shameless plug, shameless plug. So today I am the warm-up act. I am going to warm up for the real preach that's going to come in. And we're going to talk about impact. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be unpacking what does impact look like for us as Christians. So we're going to unpack that. We're going to look at things like Jesus, the impact that Jesus had on those that he met, the impact of the Holy Spirit on the disciples, the impact of the gospel on you, the impact of you on your world. But this morning, I felt like I've been given that task to just cast that vision, that overview. What do we think impact looks like to us as Christians? And the first thing I wanted to talk about, I did a Juliet, and I went and found a definition. What does the definition of impact mean? It says the action of one object coming forcibly in contact with another. The action of one object coming forcibly within another. And I think if we just show the picture of that car. So that just gives us an impact. If you are the yellow car, I would hope that everything that you carry inside of you is stronger than the blue car. What is that impact that you carry? The second definition is that impact is a marked influence on something. And impact is a marked influence on something. If we show the next slide, it shows somebody's feeling a little bit down and your influence on that person changes that person's perspective, his posture, and the way that he looks at himself. And then I thought to myself, what about us as Christians, Leah? What does that mean to me as a Christian? And I think the clue is in the title. When you look at the picture that is going to come up of Qatar Airways flies all over the world. It will go to all the corners of the earth, but its launch pad is Doha. Its launch pad is in Qatar. It will never go anywhere without going through Qatar first to refuel, replan, maintain through Qatar. And for us, I think, as Christians, this is something that's quite similar, that we cannot have impact on the world unless it is centered on Christ. That maximizing our impact is, as Christians, should be centered on Christ. And this morning, the Lord wanted us to share, maybe me to share a few quick principles about what does that mean for us as Christians? What does that mean for us as Christians? It is He, Christ, who should be centered in us before we even have plans on what impact we think we have on the world. So it was in Romans 15 and 4 that the Lord gave me this scripture. He says, whatsoever things are written aforetime, they are for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scripture, we may find hope. That whatsoever things were written before time, those things in the Bible are for our learning, so that when we read them, we may find hope. Why am I saying this? It's because God captures history for our learning. That in the Bible, when you turn those pages, there are people who look like me and you who have actually had an impact. That sometimes we read those stories and we think, my goodness, that's not me. I cannot do that. But God has captured history for our learning because hidden in history are stories and mysteries that will encourage us to have that impact. We move forward. The way we move forward is by looking at history. We look at the people that we see in the Bible and we think, if God moved then, He's the same God that moves today. So this morning, we'll quickly examine scriptural outline of what impact looks to us. And by that, we'll look at who are the people in the Bible that we think, well, I picked up my favorite ones, that I think had impact, that we can look at and think, wow, if you just think about Moses, you think about Gideon, you think about Barak, these are just ordinary people who had a huge impact. So when you look at the Bible as well, when I was looking at Paul, I thought, well, you think about ordinary people, but let's think very quickly. It says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, David. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Moses. All these guys did what they needed to do, had an impact, left a lasting impact by faith. By faith. And you know, when I was reading, I think it was Hebrews 11 and 32, it says this, "And what more shall I say?" the writer says. "I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah." Which this tells me that actually there are so many more people in the Bible who had an impact more than what he rattles out in Hebrews 11. So today, I just want to just bring it back to us. Say, what does it mean for me to have an impact? Now, I just want you to do something for me. Inhale, exhale. The pressure is off. We don't have to go and kill a lion and a bear. That God is not looking for grand gestures when he's asking us to have an impact. Because I could just say, for me, I just believe that it is in the micro decisions that you make that turn out to be a macro impact, whether it is in your life, in your personal life, or on a global setting. So it is the micro things that we're going to look at. And the first principle that God gave me was, the first thing you need to do in order for you to have an impact is discover who God is. Discover who God is. How do we do this? The Bible says this in Daniel 11, "But the people who know their God, they shall do great exploits." That it is only through knowing God that you can do great exploits. Another scripture, the prophet Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories, glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth." You see, the pride and the impact on the believer is not on his acquisition or on his things, but on his knowledge of God. Our impact is meaningless unless it is rooted or we encounter Christ. Because of you, because in you, journey to impact, you can stand before Pharaoh one day like Jesus did, and Pharaoh, the Pharaohs in your life will ask you, "Who sent you?" If you don't know who you come from, who sent you? So yes, discover and know God. And the second point is discover and know yourself. Who are you? This John says this when he starts the scripture in John 1. He says, "There was a man sent from God. His name was John." How powerful is that? He introduces himself and says, "I know who I am. I'm just not John. I am a guy who's been sent by God." One of the beauty of knowing God is that in the process of discovering God, you discover yourself. Steve, a man sent by God. Rob, a man sent by God. Paul, a man sent by God. It's not just the men, by the way. Listen. Ness, a woman sent by God. Claire, sent by God. You see, it is only through the lens of knowing who God is that we'll discover who we are truly. And in discovering who we are, we know what we carry and the impact that God is sending us to give. So how can we impact our families, our churches, our cities, the workplaces that we're in if we don't know who we are? Because we're not approaching or we're not in that space in the accurate way that God has shaped us to be. Discover and know who God is. Discover and know yourself. Let's examine Gideon. The Bible says he was a man of valor. Here's a guy who's hiding in the wine press. Gideon, come on. You know, this war is already set up for you. But he's hiding because he doesn't know who he is and he doesn't know what he carries. So every time godly men encounter God, among many things, they rediscover themselves. So if we discover who God is, we begin to discover who we are in Christ. You see, you know where you come from. If you know where you come from, then you can fully comprehend what you are here for. All of us, for as long as we are still breathing, God has use for us. You know, some of us are a little bit mouthy, and you think, well, the preaching is just for Leah. But no, actually, you have to look inside of you and ask yourself, what's that thing that you find an advantage in yourself? What's that thing that you find an advantage in the worldly space? And God wants to have use for that. When it was time for David to fight Goliath, he went to Saul and they said, "David wants to fight Goliath." And Saul said, "No, David, we can't do this to you. Have you seen Goliath? You know, who's your family? We can't do this to your family." And he says, "Let me tell you my resume. Let me tell you about myself. I killed the lion and I killed the bear. And this guy, I'm not afraid of him." And you see, what Saul then says after that is really powerful. He says, "Whose son are you? I want to know where you come from so I understand the potential that you carry." Whose son are you? Discover who God is. Discover who you are. And the third one is discover your giftings and your ability. In Exodus 2, God says to Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" And Moses says, "A rod." What do you have in your hand this morning? What's in your hand that you think is so ordinary that God cannot use. I'll tell you something about myself. I grew up with people telling me, my goodness, that girl can talk. And it didn't matter how much I tried to be demure. People thought I was ill. But that was my rod. That was my rod. What is that thing that the world is criticizing you about that God has actually put in your hand in order for you to have an impact? The rod in your hand becomes a sign and a wonder when you lay it before the cross. The rod in your hand, I'll say it again, becomes a sign and a wonder when you throw it at the feet of Christ. If the rod that you have in your hand cannot bow and serve the Lord in your home, in this house, then it cannot be a sign and wonder. It has to have a lasting impact, and the only way it has a lasting impact if it's rooted and centered in Christ. In Exodus 4, I think, and 17, Moses says this. He throws his rod at the feet of the throne, and it then becomes a sign and a wonder. So no matter the rod, however ordinary, if we sacrifice and we put it at the feet of Jesus, it becomes a sign, it becomes a works for sign and wonders. So when you serve the Lord with your gifting, he then that turns that gift into impact. I have learned that the Lord will never send you unless he reveals to you what it is that you carry. He'll never send you somewhere unless he reveals to you what you carry. So don't stack an impact agenda if you don't know what's in your rod. So if you're a singer, if you're a preaching abilities, leadership abilities, brilliant mom, brilliant dad, husband, wife, whatever it is, there's nothing too small that God cannot use. It is you looking within yourself and saying, what comes so easy to me that I begin to look at it in the lens of knowing God, that God begins to reveal who we are and indeed the gifts that we carry. Whatever the rod, we cannot serve the nations unless it serves the house first. Discover who God is, discover who we are, discover your gifts and ability. And the fourth one is discover and receive your assignment. Assignment and calling and impact will only come when you put yourself at the feet of Jesus. If you are David, you're going to discover your assignment and your calling through the pathway of feeding your brothers. If you are Jeremiah, you're going to discover your pathway to impact through revelation. In Jeremiah 1 and 5, it says, while you were in your mother's womb, you were ordained to be a prophet to the nations. He wasn't feeding anybody, but in his mother's womb, there was by revelation that he was called. So everything that we require is already deposited inside of us. But we need to know who God is. We need to know who we are. We need to discover our abilities. And then we begin to know what is in our assignment. You see, it says this, Paul says, I come in the volume of the book that's written of me. Your relevance, your honor, your reward, your impact is in your assignment. Another version says, so I said, I come here to do it your way, Lord, so that just as it's described in your book. So there is a book that's written of you. You will come in the volume of the book that's written of you in eternity. And it's our job to discover that assignment before we actually launch into impact. Discover and know who God is. Discover and know yourself. Discover your giftings and ability. Discover and receive your assignment. And the last one is build your capacity and prepare for impact. That as much as we know who we are, build your capacity and build your capacity and prepare for impact. The more we prepare, the more impactful our lives can be. And I'm sure our singers will tell us, they will probably be singing day in, day out before they come and bless us on a Sunday, that you cannot grow your capacity unless you put the work in to strengthen those muscles. Jesus, it took him 18 years for a ministry that lasted 3 years. But we're still having that impact. Thousands and thousands of years later. Let's look at the disciples, the ratio of training to inspiration, 3.5 years to 1 day, 1 night of encounter in the upper room. We need to build our muscles. What is in our hand that we think comes ordinary to us? That we begin to build that muscle. The prophet Elisha said this in 2 Kings. It says, go to the woman who had the jars of oil. It says, go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. You see, what the prophet Elisha is saying to the widow here is that I know the problem that you have. The problem is not the oil on your life, but the problem is the capacity that you carry. So enlarge your capacity. By adding more jars, this woman begins to increase her capacity and the oil begins to overflow. Build that muscle. Build that muscle, because the oil of your life will only assume the size of the capacity that you carry. And God doesn't do that to punish us. He does that to preserve us. The oil of your life will only assume the size of the capacity that you carry. Your mindset is small. If your mindset is small, then the oil on your life will be small. So we discover who God is, discover who we are, discover what's in our hand, discover our capabilities, our assignment, and then we build our capacity. So before I end, I want to leave you with an assignment. I know some of you, sometimes we come in here, me inclusive, I sit in here, I think that's such a beautiful sermon, but what do I do when I come out of that door? You see, when we talk about things like this, the enemy is prepared because he knows he doesn't want big people. He wants to keep us small. Therefore, he's there to begin to speak to us. He speaks to us in a way that begins to discourage us. So you think, oh, she says all of that, but it doesn't really amount anything to me. But actually, all of us are here, and all of us are special in God's sight, and all of us are here because there is an assignment that God wants us to complete. So in Habakkuk, it says this in Habakkuk 2, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he who reads it may run. What am I saying? When we leave this place today, whatever is ordinary in your hand, I want you to write it. Whatever you think is ordinary during the course of this week, as we go through that impact, write what you think is ordinary in your life, and you think, this comes so easy to me. Can God be wanting me to use it? If it's business, write it. If it's beauty, write it. You may laugh. Esther, her beauty took her before the king. If you're handsome, write it. If you've got leadership abilities, write it. If you've got prophetic gifting, write it. It's that thing that you know inside of you that God has given you. Lord, I just pray that you begin to build in us, that as we grow in our impact, you'll be at the center of it. In Jesus' name.
And so we are deeply grateful for every individual person that has walk through these doors over the years. And this morning, whether you're new and this is your first morning with us, or relatively new, you've just become part of this gathered community, or somebody who's been around a while, we just want to take a few moments to just look at, how are we doing in terms of the vision that God has together called us to fulfill? Impact. Growing a community of God's grace, serving the world. That's why we come together like this. That's why we meet in life groups. That's why we do all the various things that we do that are part of Life Church programs, so that we might grow a community of God's grace that we might then serve the world. There's something of impact about that. And this morning and this coming week, just want you to gather a little bit. I'm very excited about this, of looking at, almost measuring where we are, what we've done. We can easily move forward, and we've got to take hold of what Leah said. I'm hoping I'm in the top 10 handsome. Is that okay? Rob's ahead of me and Mark. And we're talking about impact over these next few weeks, and I believe it will cause us to overflow with passion. Together. In a few minutes' time, thanks, Jean, we're going to put in your hand our impact report, our first ever 16-page full color document. I have watched this grow as Maria and other people have worked on this over the last months. And I read it again last night for the 439th time. And I still get very, very excited. I'm part of this community called Life Church that is having impact in places beyond just the bricks of this building, out to other countries in all that's going on. And I'm not going to talk at all about what's in here. It's there for you to read. So it's our first ever impact report, detailing the impact we have had collectively together, but through your personal commitment to that. It's one chapter, thanks Jean, of a story. The story is 2022 at Life Church. A story, not some Enid Blyton fictitious, a story that you are a part of. A story that you have created and make happen. It's an exciting read. Let me give you a bit of flavor here, thanks Jean. Winston Churchill, one of my great heroes, he said this, the further back you can look, in one of his speeches in 1943, the further back you can look, the further forward you are likely to see. Understanding our history is imperative to shaping our future. So it might be recent history, but this is a little bit of the impact that you and I have had. Paul in Philippians, he wrote this great statement, didn't he? I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. There's a bit of reflection on Paul there. He's thinking about the impact, not just of his calling as an apostle to the places round about, but actually, I couldn't do this without the partnership of you and me and others around. And he's just taking a moment to say, when I pray, I sit down and I thank God. And I can say, honestly, not I'm claiming to be any apostle or anything like this, I do the same. I get excited about coming together and seeing your amazing faces, sharing coffee, doing all that we do together like this. Why? Because we're partnering, not just because I'm a lovely guy and I just want to get along lovely people, but together the gospel that Jesus ignited is now continuing to roll out because of you. Oh! Feel very excited about that. So I want to say to you, on behalf of God, on behalf of the Holy Spirit, on behalf of everybody around and those that are not here this morning, thank you. Genuinely, thank you. To everybody who leads a life group or a kids group or a youth group or a prayer night or runs the finances or masses of people, thank you with all our hearts together. Thank you to Connor, to Maria, two amazing people who I will work with day by day. And we sat just the other day encouraging one of the fantastic people. Thank you for all you do. This is about you. And you're thrilled about that. So, thanks, Jean. I'm not going to talk really about anything that's in here, but I do want to throw a couple of things in because this isn't about what energy I can create. This isn't about us getting really slick programs that work and everybody's on board and do. We want to do that. You know, we want to do things right. We want to do things proper. But ultimately, the currency that we deal in is faith. And Leah's quoted it already, that great chapter in Hebrews, the oft-repeated word, by faith, by faith, by faith. That's why we've got the stories that we've got. That's why we've got this. Because by faith, which is on here. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for. Some of you know this, some of you don't. The evidence of things not seen. I want to tell you something. Whoever it is that is around you in whatever role that they play, there's a great sense of faith about what they do. The leadership of this church deal in the currency of faith. Let me give you an example, and it's not specifically in here because it's 2023 and this is about 2022. We were told in the pandemic, when I say we were told, Pioneer, who we are part of, sent email out and all this sort of thing, just be careful because we don't know where everything will land financially after the pandemic and all this sort of thing. And we thought, yeah, okay, we accept that, so we'll employ a new person. That's great, isn't it? So we did. And for the last 2 years, and I find this exciting, some of you get nervous at this. Please feel nervous, because you wouldn't do this probably at home. For the first time in my 30 years of being here, we set a deficit budget. Hallelujah! And within that deficit budget, that means that all the departments that come and go, we'd like this for more music stuff, we'd like this for more kids stuff, we'd like this. That's how we sort of run the finances here. In the middle of all that, the people who run all that said, well, I'll tell you what, we've set a deficit budget, so we need to be careful. So let's employ Connor a little bit more. Let's give Maria a few more hours paid so we can do all this better. And if you believe in the devil, you just look at him and go, on your bite, little boy. You have no power around here because we're moving forward with the impact that God has called us to have. In the middle of all that as well, as you know, Jeremy shared it some months ago, we sent a shed load of money out to Kenya. If you're not familiar with the story, there's a school being built out there amongst the farm that we developed over many years and other smaller project, but equally as keen. So that when I'm in heaven and you're there with me listening to my singing, you'll be grateful then. There will be people who will be impacted by today. For one, there'll be 1,000 kids taught in that school, way beyond our lifetime, that you were part of that story, because you might not have been with Jeremy or myself to Kenya, but you gave some money towards it helping, or you did what you did. Thank you. I'm almost there. Thanks, Jean. For all the hype, we're serious about this. I love life, you know me, those of you that know me. Life's here. Enjoy the thrills and the spills. But of course, there is the serious nature of what I believe God has called me to be and what he's called us to be together. So, this is 2022. It's one chapter of the story. The next chapter is being written right now. You are part of it. Your name is in there. Your impact is in there. So my question is obvious. Am I a consumer at Life Church, or is this my community? Partnership, it's on the screen there. The invitation in being a partner at Life Church is to commit to praying, to growing, to attending, to serving, to giving. So that what Habakkuk said might happen. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Praise God. So as we move forward looking at history in a sense, let me just throw this out there before we hand these booklets out. My heart, about 11 o'clock last night before I went to bed, I'm just reading through this and thinking, I hope Leah gives me a couple of minutes just to say something. And I wrote this down for Life Church. My heart would be that this is a place of grace, a tribe of truth, a family of faith, and a postcode of hope. Yeah? A place of grace, a tribe of truth, a family of faith, and a postcode of hope. We're going to sing a song in a moment, and I've asked Mark and James if they will just help me. We're going to hand these out right now as part of our worship. And I know you can't resist, you want to read. Sorry, Rob, Sarah. Please sing and read. If you are one of those people who can actually put it away and read it when you get home, then really? And I just want to make an appeal right across this great crowd here, whether you're here for the first time or the 100th time. We partner together to grow a community of God's grace to serve the world so that the gospel might have impact. God, it needs it. If you're with us, if you're with me, don't hesitate, stand with me now. There was a bit of hesitation, but you're up. Forgive my cheekiness. Mark, James, do you want to grab and go? Thank you. Yeah, you obviously didn't get my text. Mark's going to go down the right wing. James is going to go down the left wing. That's no political leaning, because I'll go down the middle. Let's just pray as these guys just lead us in some worship. And I just invite you, close your eyes with me, sorry, as you're getting the booklets, probably not a wise thing to do, is it? Open your eyes and pray. And as you do, in this few minutes of inspiration, you're committing yourself to be part of that place of grace. You want to be part of that tribe of truth, a family of faith, and you want to belong to a place that's a postcode of hope. God, by your Holy Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, come afresh to us now. Breathe upon us individually as a group of people together. I thank you for every person within the sound of my voice and those that will hear in whatever way beyond this. I pray that beyond the words and the energy that we can summon up, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will just deposit something new and fresh. That in these days, as we've all acknowledged, a community around us that desperately needs Jesus. May we respond with more than just a yes, it does. But we commit our time and our money and our gifting to making this happen. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing a song and then we're just going to come up and say a couple of more things before then we close the service. All yours, Rob, Sarah, Abby, Hannah.